You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, where Christian leaders find strength, wisdom, and encouragement to lead with grace, courage, and purpose. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing nearly 1,000 guests over the last 20 years on various aspects of their leadership activity and journey. So whether you have a leadership title or are simply aiming to use the influence you have wisely, I hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and join us again next week. It's great to welcome you once again, and a reminder that this show aims to support and encourage all Christians to use their influence where God has placed them. So this includes those who have a leadership role and those without, but who lead with a small L in their interaction with others. But it also includes another category of people, those who step down from a leadership role. So I'm delighted to be joined today by David Webster. It's welcome back because David was on the show along with Pete Carter about the way in which the church he served in Gravesend merged with the church that Pete served in North Kent to form the Eastgate Church, located in a new development in Gravesend. That was some 11 years ago. 5 years ago, he passed on his leadership baton. And so I look forward to hearing how life in what might be called retirement has been and the kind of questions and issues he's been grappling with. So welcome back, David, to the Leadership Show.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Has it really been 11 years?
I know. I was a mere 60 years old then. So.
Oh, bless you. Okay. Well, you've given the game away already. So
yeah, I'm afraid so.
So let me take you back to the first day and early weeks after retirement. You had served for many decades in pastoral ministry. You'd seen God move powerfully in the church in Gravesend and the merged church, now Eastgate Church. And then you wake up to a new day. What's going through your head and heart?
Yeah, I was trying to think back. I can't remember a single, day where it kind of hit me, because it was a bit of a process, really. I'd already gone down to 3 days a week for a year, and that was all nicely sort of planned. And I was thinking, yeah, play a bit more golf, do a few other things other than church work. And then the dreaded COVID came along just at that moment. So it all got a bit sort of blurred, and I ended up probably doing more than 3 days a week. But then I said to the, I'd always said to our leadership, look, I'm going to retire, for full-time employment in a year's time. So I kind of gave myself a good year's further preparation. And I felt God had spoken to me right early on in my sort of ministry, full-time ministry in the early 90s, that I was to build something 10 times bigger. And around about that time, our church was about 50 adults or so, plus children and young people. And having merged, with the other church and having probably doubled in size since that merger, we'd kind of exceeded that 10 times bigger. And I felt God actually give me a choice. He said, it was almost, well, you could carry on, David. I think God was quite happy to give me a vision for the future for that, or you could do something different. And I felt I'd kind of got to the stage in church life where we were going around the same, same issues very often. And the church, I think I was kind of getting a little bit tired and weary of that, and thought, I really needed a change. And So I took some advice. A man called Danny Silk, you may have heard of. I booked in, he was over here one occasion. I booked in an hour and with him. And I sat down and said, Danny, I want to talk about, finishing work. He said, oh, you want to repurpose? I said, that's exactly what I want to do. Not retire. I want to repurpose. And it was so full of hope, and purpose, that suddenly retirement became something, really quite attractive. And then I started to get a number of sort of prophetic words, a lovely golfing one, really. Somebody, because I'd already announced, I was going to step down in a year's time. So over that year, people would come up and just give me words from God. There was a lovely one that the back nine would be better than the first nine, a nice golfing illustration.
Yes.
And so that was good. And I started to, in that year, started to almost compile a mental list of things I would, be able to do and want to do. So when it actually came to the moment of retirement, it was, I wouldn't say it was easy because there were other things I was facing. I knew I was facing, something I'd never been to, been through before. I'd been a teacher in secondary school for 10 years, education advisor. I'd been in full-time ministry for 30 years. I'd always been in work. And so I, this was a path I'd never gone down. So how do you prepare for that? There was always going to be something unknown. And then I soon realized in that period when I made the retirement that, I was no longer going to have regular, almost daily contact with my friends. The people I was working with, I had friends outside of that, but most of my time and energy on a daily basis went into friendships with people I worked with, and suddenly they wouldn't be there. And then this thing called church that I was working for, would I'd no longer be in a sense at the Danny Silk has this phrase at the hot lava core. I wouldn't be at the center. And I think within days I was talking to one of our other elders, and the conversation just kind of stopped suddenly. And I suddenly realized, oh yeah, I'm not heir to that information. I'm not allowed in that discussion because it's confidential.
Sure.
And I wanted to say, I just realized that this person couldn't say any more to me. And I suddenly I was on the outside. So emotionally, although I kind of prepared for it, it was equally something I knew I couldn't prepare for, and I just have to adapt. And it was, I suppose having lived and breathed church for 30 years as well, as you know, so that kind of vocational work, it's with you all the time. You don't, it's not 9 to 5, it's kind of 24/7, and if you're not doing it, you're thinking about it. And suddenly that was gone. So that was, yeah, a big transition.
Sure. And people sometimes talk about not knowing how tired they were until they stopped something. Was that the sense, or had the 3 days a week helped you to reduce
I was
anyway?
hoping it would, and it probably did in some way. But again, because of COVID, it was all a very different type of experience, and I just sort of made. I said, "Well, we're trying to adapt to this new situation, so I will make myself available." So the kind of 2 clear days a week never really worked out, as well as it might have done. And I think you don't realize how tired you are. I think if I could change anything about my working life, I would take more sabbaticals. So anybody listening, take more sabbaticals. We had no, I suppose, sabbatical kind of culture in our church. We're not part of a major denomination. I know often Baptist ministers, I don't know if they all do it, but they have this kind of system built in. I think that every 7 years, they'll take a real break. I persuaded our trustees that I take a sabbatical, but I went and did. I didn't take much time off. I just went and did an MA in theology, which is actually more work.
Oh boy, yes.
So, I would have changed that. And I think you don't realise what you're carrying all that time. I mean, you kind of do. You've got lots of responsibility for a community, but you don't realise what you carry until you lay it down. Yeah.
Sure. And without asking personal financial questions, the truth is that for many who have served in pastoral ministry, they suddenly realize, hang on, I won't have the same income. Now, some have a pension, but that may not stretch very far. And that's kind of an abiding element of life because you are restricted by what you do, by how much finance you have. I just wonder if you could talk through that, without necessarily, as I say, being personal, but to those who are listening are thinking, yeah, this is an issue.
Yeah, well, out on the golf course yesterday, I was playing with one of our church trustees, and he'd been with me really since I started. And we've been so blessed with trustees who set up good pension schemes for us. Probably paid us, maybe. I mean, I don't know all the statistics, but I always felt we were pretty much above average in terms of, our salaries. So we've kind of ended well, really. We're very happy with what we get. It's a really slightly strange feeling. You know, money just goes into your bank account and you don't feel like you've earned it. You know, you haven't been working for it. That's really quite. I hadn't kind of anticipated that, but yeah, and we have a, you know, a great faith-filled church. You know, faithful givers. I've tithed most of my working, well, almost, yeah, all my working life. So I'm kind of reaping the benefits, I think, of that. And then these two guys I play golf with had good financial advisors, so I kind of checked in with them. And was blessed with having paid my mortgage off, well, I think when I was 58. So, you know, we were then able to downsize and turn, you know, we had quite a large family house, brought up three strapping lads, downsized to something smaller, so was able to release a bit of finance from that. So yeah, very pleased the way it worked out,
No,
although not everyone's
well, that's good to
in
hear,
such a
and
favored position, but.
sure, and it's worth saying for those at any stage of their working life, it's worth giving a thought to the retirement world and to those years.
Absolutely. I mean, we would have regular interviews with our pension providers, you know, on were we on target for about two-thirds of our salary. Didn't work out quite as good as that, but with the world's financial system. But yeah, we're very well provided for.
Sure. And of course, this also means, depending on what your spouse does for, you know, whether they work or whatever, it means that you have to renegotiate your kind of the time you spend with your spouse. So I don't know how
Yep.
you found that.
Well, we laughed about that really because no, we love the freedom to be able to kind of drop things and go and do things. We just spent a month in Australia actually, just visiting family, and our sons helped us to kind of do that. We both work from home, or work in inverted commas, we don't, you know, unpaid voluntary work. We still do that from home, so we see quite a lot of one another. But we'd always, you know, back in our New Frontiers days, we had this kind of Monday off. That was quite a usual thing for people working full time. And we just carried on doing that. So we have kind of that right, you know, we make sure, because so, as people say, retired people are, you know, just, sometimes more busy than they were when they're working. So you have to make that time. But probably our major challenge is my wife took on the chairmanship of a local homeless charity. And she's a very kind of hands-on chair of trustees for that. And I suddenly found that she was, you know, she'd almost like got another, she'd got the full-time job now. And I, you know, I was the part-timer, or I just had a few part-time interests. So we've kind of had to work that through because it's a small charity. We're very challenging, you know, guests. We have a six-bedroom HMO and a day centre, and about seven or eight full-time or part-time staff. So, yeah, she gets quite tied up in that. So we've had to kind of work around that.
David, every church denomination or stream has rules of thumb regarding where a retired leader may worship. In some settings, there's an assumption or even a rule that they will move to another church family, even if they stay in the same home. I've known other settings where leaders have remained in the church quite comfortably. I guess it depends on the personality of the leader, the kind of relationship they had with the congregation. I don't know
Yeah.
how that was with you.
Well, you mentioned my colleague Pete Carter. We had discussions about that over the years and thought, well, why do you have to leave your family, you know, your church family? Ideally, you'd want to stay in it. These are friendships you've built up over
Absolutely.
years. And it is a strange, you know, I've for the first couple of years really, I'm now 5 years into repurposing. And you know, it's a weird feeling because, like I said before, you're not in the you know, central decision making anymore. A couple of things helped really. I mean, I carried on doing some teaching in our school, you know, the School of Supernatural Ministry. I think you came along to
Yes.
became the School of Supernatural Life. So I was doing a bit of teaching and that. So there was a kind of slight carryover, you know, a nice continuity with that. I guess too, we've always been blessed with sometimes four, five, six elders, some full time, some part time. So when I'm off the scene, I'm sure I hope they miss me. I think they did miss me, but you know, I wasn't indispensable. We'd also been training other people to, you know, fill in the gap. It was very much time, I felt, to pass on the baton, but we try to minimize that sense of, we were a long way away from a kind of one-man ministry. So I think that transition's made easier if you're handing over to a group or people who you've mentored and brought into, that setting. I still sit on our what we call our wider leadership team, made up largely of people who are not working for the church. So that's a useful place to be where you can kind of share your wisdom, around church life.
Excellent. And we've already used this word repurpose. And given that, I suspect you would say that the word retirement is a bit redundant.
Yeah, I think so. I suppose it conjures up lots of holidays and playing. I mean, I do a measure of golf, as I've obviously indicated, and one of my plans was to work less. Sure, but I wanted to make sure there were plenty of things that, gave me purpose. And I think if you're, seeking the kingdom of God, very much involved in your local church, you're just gonna kind of work that out. So the kind of central purpose of your life should be remaining the same. God didn't change, God didn't retire. And you can keep building your relationship with him, keep serving with him. You're just doing it in a different way, and you have to make that what is a big transition, but you have to kind of make that transition as best as you can.
Sure. And I understand that included a bit of book writing, David.
It
So,
did.
how did that all come about?
It started really when I was, still working. I don't know if you remember, I did a lot of teaching around Christian identity. And so I had a whole sort of batch of teaching around that, and had been very much inspired by Chris of Allerton's book, Supernatural Ways of Royalty. So eventually, again, number of prophetic words given quite publicly, that I would one of our the Bethel students prophesied in a public meeting that, in this beautiful, deep South accent, Dave Webster, you're going to write an influential book. That's probably a very poor impersonation, but that was as close as I get. Thomas Blackman, his name was. And so it kind of nailed me, really. I thought, well, I've never written one before. But then I began to gather my material, added things to it, and that turned out to be discovering and developing your royal identity. When I was retiring, I thought, well, I'd like to write, carry on writing. Very much felt God had said to me, well, you've got to get this message of royal identity out. How would you do it with children? Well, I think the logic was, well, you'd probably write it as a story, wouldn't you? You could write a watered down version of your adult book, but if you wrote it as stories, then it would be very compelling. And then God just started to add, almost like words of knowledge. The name Edison, that was the little boy. I thought, if I'm going to write for kids, I'd probably write about a little boy, because I was a little boy. I had three little boys, and by that stage, I'd got three little grandsons as well. So it all kind of started to fit into place, and I produced two books in a series so far. I've called it the Edison series. Edison's a wonderful name. It means prosperity and success, and being warlike or brave. And then the second book came out as Edison and the Castle of Doubts. And I'm currently writing the third, has just gone off to the self-publishing company I use. That's about Edison's sister called Sophia and the Mountain of Wisdom. And they're really all books about self-discovery, done as kind of Christian fantasy, aimed at sort of 8 to 12 year olds. So
Excellent.
that's the
What?
kind of progression.
Fabulous. Well, I'm sure we can find out how to get copies a bit later in the conversation. But great
Sure.
to, but great to hear, and perhaps a signal that sometimes retirement might lead to new things for people,
Absolutely.
which is
Yeah.
refreshing. Yeah. So, David, looking back at your years of retirement, what's surprised you most about how you've handled
Well, I'm pleased I've handled it.
it?
I don't think I doubted that I would. I think I was just really, I think the emotional adjustment was the largest. Just getting up each day and thinking, right, what am I doing, and what's going on back there, and are the guys all right, who are running the show now? But again, I've been able to, I've had the freedom to phone them up and say, do you want to get a coffee? Let's just have a chat. And we'll obviously, we'll talk about church and they'll ask me questions. So that's been a joy. I didn't realize, I mean, if you'd said, look, you're going to write two or three children's books, I had never dreamt that I would do that, I could be that creative. I wouldn't say I was uncreative. I just didn't have a particular, probably most of my creativity has gone into preaching. So I guess some of the skills, are similar, but the idea of getting ideas, plotting. I wrote two books and then I decided I ought to do a writing course
All right.
a little bit late in the day, but that delayed the third book, but it was well worth doing. And I've just thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I work with an illustrator, and so that's been, although she's producing the illustrations, we work very closely together. She's very open to suggestions. I've loved that sort of that creative side of it, coming out with 12 illustrations for a kid's book. And being able to go into schools, which was my original employment. I was a secondary school RE teacher for 10 years. So it's lovely to be able to kind of revisit the classroom and, just talk about, I've been in on, World Book Week in a local primary school. So that's just been a joy as well.
Super. And David, everyone's situation is unique. Are there any kind of general wisdom points you'd want to share that, in addition to what we've discussed?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes back to, well, what's the key, or the central purpose of your Christian life anyway, isn't it? So when we opened our church building, we put up a plaque, with the date and all that sort of thing. But on one side, we decided we'd just simply put up the verse, "Seek the kingdom of God first," or "Seek first the kingdom of God," Matthew 6:33. And I think if you're constantly asking, if you're praying, let your will be done, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven, then you continue to, follow that pathway, even if the working out of it is looking different. I'm still part of the church. I'm still part of God's kingdom. I'm pursuing my relationship with him. That's at the heart of it. And you keep those things clear. Keep following Jesus, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then just keep looking after you, like look after your finances. I find now, as you know, I have to spend more time looking after my body. God spoke to me several years ago about, look after your temple. I probably do more exercising now than I did when I was working full time. More walks, more golf. My wife and I have got into just started to. We're going for our induction on Sunday in cold water swimming.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite terrifying, but it's lovely. We're really kind of literally thrown ourselves into it. And yeah, I mean, keep building friendships, keep building family, your biological family, your church family. And looking forward to Jesus coming back, which at this stage seems a little bit closer than it was when I was younger, so
No,
yeah.
fabulous. Fabulous, David. And you need to tell us how we can get copies of the Edison series.
Sure, well, it's available on Amazon, and other platforms, or go straight to my website, which is quite simple, David Webster author, .co.uk.
DavidWebsterAuthor.co.co.
Author.co.uk, yeah.
Fabulous.
That'll give you the background to the books, and you can order it from there.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to catch up again and to see you thriving so well in
Yeah, thank you.
5 years into retirement. So that's
Yeah.
terrific. And th
I
this will be an inspiration to others that who
hope so.
anticipate retirement or are retired already and maybe looking for some fresh impetus. So thank you
Yeah.
so much.
Lovely. Thanks, Andy.
That was my conversation with David Webster, formerly on the leadership team at Eastgate Church. He'd served as a pastor and leader for some 30 years in the Gravesend area, and is now reflecting on being 5 years into retirement, or what he's calling repurposing. He mentioned the Edison book series. So if you're wanting to get a good Christian book for a child, maybe 8 to 12, why not check them out by going to his website, davidwebsterauthor.com. David covered some fascinating issues. There was a reminder that whatever age we are in our Christian leadership, we're wise to invest in our future. And I'm sure you know this, but if you haven't put money away into a private pension, then you're certainly missing out, or you will miss out. But this concept of repurposing is so important. As David said, in one sense, our purpose is to follow Christ and to serve him in whatever environment he calls us to be. But when we step away from leading a church, a charity, or business, which has perhaps consumed our lives, we're very wise to take some time out and to rethink how it is that God may have us focus on the next stage of life. Doing that privately, perhaps with some good friends who know us well. These things may be very obvious, but David reflected that even though he knew them, he was once again surprised by some elements of his future. David had the benefit of being able to remain in the church where he served, and there's no doubt that the sort of leadership in that church made this much easier for him. Perhaps that's less easy if you, through no fault of your own, have been more of a solo leader, and you know that continuing in that fellowship may be very tricky, especially for the person who follows you. Or you may be in a denomination where that's just simply not allowed. So it's worth giving some thought to where you may seek fellowship next, so that you can transition into a different place for service. We see in the New Testament the way in which the apostles are able to move from place to place. And though this is tough to do, I'm sure God, who gave grace in the first century, will enable you to move on and flourish somewhere else. In David's case, the future led to new avenues of service through writing, and it may be that there is some elements of your life that have not had opportunity to be developed thus far. May God give you fresh vision for the next stage of your journey. The battle metaphor in Joshua 14 may not be appropriate, but in Joshua 14:10, we read Caleb saying, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." Maybe God has the equivalent of hill countries for you to take in your advancing years. As I come up to celebrating 1,000 shows in the month of December, I'm looking forward to doing a compilation of many former shows. And if you listen to this show from a country other than the UK, please do drop me a line, andy.peck@premier.org.uk. It'll be great to give a shout out to the different places where people listen to this show from. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward to the next time. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.